Well, it's finally here. The finale you all been waiting for. I'm sure it will be everything you was hoping it would be. Or not.
The mind-bending pinnacle of the therapeutic arts, and I welcome you today to my financial seminar. You're in for a real treat. You will laugh, you will cry, you'll be separated from large sums of money, and you'll thank me. Why? Because your lives will be transformed. Well, they'll be altered. Significantly spiffed up. Yeah, that's it. So I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, but I'm not qualified. I lack the intelligence. I lack the discipline. I lack the sheer charisma to be a successful investor. And looking at you, I can see how you feel that way. But don't worry. Although all of your lives, your parents, your guidance counselors, even your parole officer might have told you that you never amount to anything that could flip anything more than a hamburger, don't let that bother you. Bring your hopes, bring your dreams, bring your sizable down payment to me, and I will make all of your fondest wishes come true. Well, more or less. You look confused. I mean, more confused than usual. I'm in the right room, right? Because I hate being in the right room. I hate being in the wrong room. I hate rooms, but you know. Other than that, but no. This is Tupelo, right?
No.
Memphis?
Yes,
yeah.
Hold on. Oh, it's Memphis. The mullet gig.
Yes.
Okay, I got you now. Alright, well, let me shift gears. You see, I don't normally, endorse fellow practitioners, but this is a special case. You see, I was out doing house calls in Kentucky. You know, helping the common people, separating them from their neurosis and their petty cash. And I had a small misunderstanding with the local law enforcement. You see, my therapies are very aggressive, cutting edge, hard hitting. You know, there's a high voltage, primal screams, rubber chickens, whatever it takes to get the job done. And well, it's not unusual while I'm administering therapy that the friends or neighbors of my patients will call 911, which is the hazards of doing medicine door to door. Now, lesser doctors, you know, with their offices and their insurance, you know, they don't have to face this sort of thing. But you know, not me. I take it to the people. I mean, I had an office once, but I got rid of it for the good of my patients. And because of a certain misunderstanding with the property management company about lease payments. They seemed to think I was going to make some. But anyway, but you know how it is. Yes, you know, wage garnishments, restraining orders, high-speed car chases, all the hallmarks of a healthy medical practice. Where was I? Kentucky, yes. So I was in Kentucky administering therapy, and of course, someone called the cops. You know, in my therapy, you see, patients often have to be restrained. I don't want them to hurt themselves, and I definitely don't want them to hurt me. So I suppose it did look bad when the police came in that my patient was zip-tied to his chair, and I was collecting my cash payment from under his mattress. But it's not my fault that he didn't believe in banks. I mean, it's Kentucky. I mean, come on. So I tried to explain to the police that I was a registered therapist and I was licensed to operate a flamethrower. But you know SWAT teams. So anyway, when the dust cleared and the fire department finally returned home, I found myself in jail. But I had one phone call. But that's okay, because I only knew one man in Kentucky. And I called him Red Mullet. He has a certain in with the law enforcement, and so, you know, after he vouched for me, of course he vouched for me, I was a free man, assuming that I agreed to never practice medicine in their state again. And there was something about house arrest, but I'm sure that was more of a suggestion than an actual rule. So when he called me and asked me to introduce him in this setting, I said it was the least I could do, and I always do the least I can do. So, with no further ado, allow me to present the defender of the downtrodden, the dispenser of duct tape, the mad muncher of moon pies, the one-stop cover-top chief combatant of crime, the one, the only, your Red Mullet!
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, I know what y'all are thinking. Thank the good Lord. We are safe. And you know how I know that?
Yeah.
No, it ain't because I'm a mind reader. That ain't one of my superpowers. I know that because we all want to feel safe. This is a dangerous place. Well, not this place in particular here at the guest house. But, yeah, even this room can be a hazard. I mean, I gave it a once-over, but you never know. You can never know what could happen. None of us do. At any moment, some crazed psychopath could walk in here and do a world of harm. And, rest assured, I do my darndest to put a hasty end to their wicked ways. But I'm only human and quite vulnerable, as it turns out. You see, invulnerability is not one of my superpowers. So, in case you're wondering, no, I am not here to put your mind at ease. That would be a fool's errand. I can give you no peace, because there ain't no guarantees. I'd be lying if I said there was. And if there's one thing the Red Mullet is not, it's a liar. I leave that to villains and the like. Speaking of which, I'm much obliged to Dr. T here for helping us out today. He's going to be walking around here directly with a microphone in case y'all got questions. I believe he mentioned how he owed us a favor. Weren't nothing really. He done got himself mixed up with some unsavory types a while back, so we was obliged to step in and lend a hand. So I thought I'd take a minute or two to read some of our fan mail before we bring out our guest. This first one here is from Judy Ketchum from Wausau, Wisconsin. It says, "Dear Mr. Mullet, you make me sick. You are a grown man, for Pete's sake. Have some gosh darn self-respect. No sane adult would run around God's green earth dressed like a comic book character claiming to be a superhero. You must be some kind of mental case. Get a real job and stop setting such poor example for our young people. Sincerely, Judy Ketchum." Well, thank you, Judy. You raised some good points. I guess this kind of work does lend itself to those who are slightly unhinged. As for our more impressionable fans, I can't imagine that my example is more harmful than that of a crooked politician or morally bankrupt Hollywood producer. On the contrary, I tend to be of the persuasion that our alternative lifestyle is considerably more healthy than theirs. Just because we don't get paid or voted into office, that does not mean what we do is any less legitimate now. Well, at least I don't think so. Next here, we got a note from Shelley Weintraub from Yakima, Washington. "Red Mullet and Cowboy, just wanted to say how much I enjoy your podcast. It is the highlight of my week. Actually, more like my year, maybe even my life. I've listened to all the episodes at least a dozen times each. They give me so much joy. Sometimes I cry when I get to the end of an episode. I know we've never met, but I feel like I've known you my whole life. I think we would be very good friends. When will you be releasing more shows? I can't wait. I'm saving all my money so I can make a trip to Kentucky to visit you. When would be a good time? Maybe I'll just surprise you. We'll have so much fun together. See you soon. Love, Shelby." Well, for some reason, this email scares me more than any villain I've ever faced. Let's go on to the next one. This last one is from Stuart Paulson from Austin, Texas. Stuart writes, "Hey, mullet guy, why don't you ever do nothing about the real criminals in our society? While you're out chasing rabbit rustlers, we're all being taken advantage of by con artists and politicians and Wall Street types. When are you going to stop them? It may be all sunsets and rainbows for you living in the hills of West Virginia or wherever, Kentucky. But the rest of us are down here in the real world suffering from scams and Ponzi gamers and demagogues. When are you going to stop playing in the woods and do some real good? Now, Stuart, I feel you, man. Don't think I don't. These are the things that keep me up at night. And you know, I've seen some scary, weird stuff. And as I've said before, I ain't remotely political, but I do understand the need to feel like you got a say in what happens at the higher-up levels, right? So that's one thing that's so great about this land that we live in is, if nothing else, we propagate the illusion of control when it comes to government and finances. But one thing that ain't so great about our country is overindulgences in a consumeristic mindset. Of course, them egghead stockbrokers, they're screwing the market with your hard-earned dollars, but that's how our economy works. We made it that way, all of us. We're all enablers, right? You don't like it? Stuff your cash under your mattress and wait for inflation to make it all obsolete. That's my advice. So, as for matchstick men, you know, them guys, I just want to point out that if you run up on a deal that sounds too good to be true, well, you better darn well reckon that it is, all right? It don't matter if it's insurance or timeshare properties or work-from-home jobs or makeup and jewelry and Tupperware parties. Somebody's going to be making money, but it ain't going to be you. Don't fall for it. All right? That's my PSA. Now, tell you one thing that ain't too good to be true. That is somebody y'all been waiting to meet. That's right. In his very first public appearance, he's my very own sidekick, but he's also my best pal and the yin to my yang. Everybody give a warm welcome to Cowboy. That's right. Come on down here, Cowboy. You get fixed up on the mic. All right. You know how this works. You're just talking to that little square thing there. All right. Welcome to the stage, CB. Glad you could join us.
You do know I arranged for this whole thing, right?
Well, sure you did. Why don't you say hi to your adoring fans?
Hello.
See, CB's been hard at work here putting this thing together. We got us a real special guest lined up that ought to be arriving any time now.
Yeah, about that.
Wait. We'll get to him in a minute. But for right now, why don't you tell us a little bit about what else you've been working on lately?
Okay. Well, since you asked, I am in the process of documenting my exploits as a superhero.
Sidekick?
Yeah. It's called Moonlighting, Tales from the Utter Side, and it should be available sometime next year.
And, of course, this is a companion piece to my book, Disambiguation, Memoirs of a Hillbilly Superhero, also due out next year.
Actually, I wrote mine first.
I know. You was an inspiration to me.
And you don't have a publisher.
Well, if it's anything near as easy as this podcasting thing.
I think you underestimate the complexity of the publishing industry.
I ain't worried about it. Hey, why don't you go ahead and introduce our special guest and get him out here.
Well, that's the thing I was trying to tell you earlier. He's not answering his phone.
Hmm. Well, that ain't like him. Why don't you try it again? Dial him up. Dial him up again.
All right. Let's see here. Okay. 1776. Then, where is he? All right. It's dialing.
Is it ringing? Okay.
Hello.
Who is this?
Who are you trying to reach?
The person who owns this phone.
Who is it? Oh.
Johnny come lately.
I'm sorry, who?
Johnny come lately.
I still couldn't hear you there, little boy. Ooh.
Johnny come lately.
Oh, yes. I'm afraid he's a little, tied up at the moment. Would you like to leave a message?
Who are you talking to, CB?
I don't know. Who is this?
You don't see him over here.
Where are you talking about?
Over here, you dimwit! Oh,
the clarity on this phone is really excellent here.
Who are you?
Yeah, who are you?
I am Roderick Rasmussen, the sinister minister of mayhem.
Oh, that's rude. He hung up.
Yeah, I know about you. I thought the HUHA put you away for life.
My grandmother's Russian. Trump owed me a favor, so, how it goes.
Why do you have Johnny's phone? What did you do to him?
Oh, nothing much, really. He's just, hanging out, we'll say. Actually, he's dangling precariously over a bit of ferocious alligator snapping turtles.
You fiend. He hates turtles.
I know how delightfully ironic way to die, right?
All right. Where is he? Tell us. Tell us now.
Just like that.
No monologue, no back and forth, if you will. No unreasonable demands.
He's got a point, you know. That's...
It's kind of a thing.
You need to do that.
Who's the guy in the cheap suit?
Oh, that's Dr. DeBoggins. Don't change the subject. Where has Johnny come lately?
Oh, you guys? No fun at all. You know that, right? No fun at all. But anyway, I was hoping for a kind of a challenge here. You know, where is this intrigue, you know? Where's the suspense? That's what we're asking.
I swear. Fine. What is your game?
Wonderful. Here we are. Ready for this? If you allow me to promote my new book on your podcast, then I will tell you where your little brother friend is. Just like that.
Really? That's it? That's all?
Self-promotion is very difficult. It's almost as arduous as finding a publisher, if you will.
Told you.
Yep.
Well, shoot. Go ahead. Let's hear it.
Excellent. Here we go. The name of the book is The Diabolical Pulpit. How to Recruit Minions and Gain Nemesis. It's the first of a 17-volume self-help series, really.
Great. You did your thing. Now, where's Johnny?
Isn't that cute?
Really? Isn't that cute, everybody? Really? Give him a hand! Bravo! You seem genuinely concerned about your friend, huh? Well, unfortunately for you, even if I told you, you would never rescue him in time. Sorry. Not
sorry. That's it. You're mine, Roddy.
Oh, hey! Oh, oh, oh! Buy my book! It's great! It's a self-help book!
This is what you get? I hate turtles!
I know!
Security!
Great, isn't it? He hates turtles.
Johnny, you're alive.
Yes, it was... No big deal, really. I escaped 5 minutes after he left the room, but, you know, I had to wait to make my entrance, you know, live up to my name and all that.
I don't blame you. Well, I'm glad you're okay.
Yeah, thanks. And who's the guy in the cheap suit?
Oh, don't worry about it. Why don't you sit down here? We're gonna open up the floor for anybody who's got questions in just a second. But first, I just want to share a little story here about me and old Johnny. To start with, in case some of y'all don't know, this here's Johnny Come Lately. That's right. The fastest man never born, is that right? Something like that? Okay. Now, me and Johnny, we go back a piece, back when I was running with the Homogeneous Union of Heroic Ambition, or Ambivalent, sorry. We got into a couple good scrapes, along with Splish Splash, Sassafras, and those guys. One time in particular sticks out in my mind. We was on this quest. Now you say a quest, that don't sound very heroic, and normally I'd tend to agree with you, but this here quest was one wherein the fate of humanity was on the line. This was a quest which pitted the forces of evil against our motley little band of do-gooders. It was the quest for the two-sided coin. Now, allow me to explain. You see, the two-sided coin was the name given to this legendary, almost mythical weapon of unparalleled power. It was said to be able to bend the fabric of time and space. In the wrong hands, this coin, it would cause massive destruction, and what happened was we were the only ones who stood between it and the wrong hands. And in this instance, the wrong hands was a horde of Elvis impersonating zombies. Ironically, as we're here at Graceland this week, but they was controlled by a lady who called herself like the Heebie-Jeebie Queen or Queen Heebie-Jeebie, something like that. Yeah. So it was a race for destiny. And who do you call when you got to win a race? Well, normally you call somebody fast, but in this case, we had to settle for this guy. Now, I'll tell you what, whatever he lacks in actual velocity, he makes up for in good instincts. He knew right where to find that trinket, and after 3 or 4, 8 different tries, we got it locked down, and it was safe and sound, and we only had to cut down about 700 or 800 undead along the way, and guess what else? You can read all about that story and lots more when you read my book that comes out next year, Disambiguation. Remember it. Now, anybody got any questions? Yes, in the back.
Where can you find the book?
Well, it'll be available on Amazon, I imagine, anywhere. Maybe comic books are sold or regular books. I haven't quite got the distribution figured out yet. Anybody else? Yes.
Where is that all-powerful two-sided coin now?
Oh, I can't tell you. That's an undisclosed location, deep, highly guarded underground government facility. So afraid I can't divulge that information. But thanks for asking.
You know, Red, we've been friends for a good while now. Yeah. This is something I've always wanted to know. What's with the moon pies, man?
Well, moon pies are part of our nutritional daily routine, along with Slim Jims and Red Bull and Mountain Dew. These are things that our particular little superhero duo, we keep those handy, keep them in stock, keep us going late night hours of patrolling and whatnot.
That makes sense. Yeah, eat healthy in a similar way, yes.
Yes, yes. Good question. Anybody else? Yeah.
Where's the dog guy?
The which guy?
The dog guy. The wolf thing?
The dog guy?
Oh,
Wolfgang. Well,
I like that one, Neil.
Yeah, he was one of our favorites, too. He don't live near us. I tried to see if he could come down and join us for this little deal, but he couldn't make it. He lives up north somewhere, but and I'm off my lunar calendar, so I don't really even know. Even if he did show up, I don't know that there's a full moon this particular week, so we may not even recognize him if he was here. It's a good question, though.
I have a question.
Yes, Dr. Zvogin.
Was I going to be paid for this appearance?
Whatever it said in your contract, I'm sure we'll live up to that.
I might not have read it. I was in a hurry.
Okay.
Being chased by people with pitchforks and torches and whatnot.
Right.
Get burned in some tiki torches.
Let's see if we got that somewhere around here. We can.
All right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we got plenty of moon pies and Slim Jims.
Do you think lawyers could be paid in moon pies? Because I have some legal bills that I have to sell.
Oh well, I don't know. You'd have to ask them.
Wasn't that feller in Kentucky though?
if he's a Kentucky lawyer, yeah, he might. Yeah.
Thank you.
Sure. Yes, question.
Where do you buy most of your gear?
Well, the gear comes from all over. Sometimes we just find things on the side of the road or thrift stores or surplus, you know, Army surplus warehouses, sometimes Radio Shack, places like that. So it can come from just about anywhere. We put things together, and Cowboy especially is good at that sort of thing. He's got, if you ask him, he'd be happy to tell you about all his different patents and things on his different inventions and battle gear. Yes, another question.
Where can we find the cow book?
The cow book, yeah. Well, Cowboy, you got any information on that? I imagine it'll probably be on Amazon, too.
It will be available on all major online retailers, as well as Novel Bookstore in Memphis, Tennessee, and various flea markets around the southern United States.
Oh, flea markets, that's good. We'll have to do some sign-ins.
Oh, Cowboy, are you single?
No, I'm sorry, ladies. I am taken. She is a veterinary assistant, and she's very nice.
Now that is news to me, y'all. You heard it here first. In his very first public appearance, he also does his very first relational status update.
I've got another question.
Yes, Dr. T.
So, what is this I hear about? Miss Tales of the Pigginess or something like that.
Oh, well, we tried to see if she'd come along and join us today, but she had a mission of some sort, or getting her hair washed or something or other. As far as our relationship right now, it's very it's professional, platonic.
I mean, she seemed very vivacious. I didn't understand.
Well, that would be a good description for her.
She
was
settling for you. I thought I could give her some counseling.
Well, yeah, yeah. Anybody else?
Mr. Muller, do you ever have concerns of an evil alternate dimension version of you laying waste to your home of Kentucky.
Oh, yes, I do. On occasion, I do worry about parallel dimensions. I don't really have that technology for sorting that sort of thing out at the time, at this particular time. Maybe that might be something along the lines of Mr. Johnny Come Lately's expertise. Do we have any transdimensional portals or anything?
I think the last one was when I was taking a quick jog past Florida. I saw one, but I was kind of in a hurry because I wanted to get my Monster energy drink.
Oh, so you missed the exit?
But I mean, I can go back anytime.
Yeah, well, we might have to look into that. That sounds like a good storyline. Yeah. Anybody else? No? All right. Well, thank you all for coming out today. I hope you enjoy this this live rendition of the Red Mullet podcast. As always, happy to have everybody here today. We hope you all will keep listening and stay tuned on the Facebook fan page and on the website, andrewchandler.net /Red Mullet Cowboy for updates. And y'all be good now. Take care.
This has been a Monumental Flounder production, written and produced by Andrew Chandler with help from Brent Diggs. Special thanks also to Jeff Poisson, Brody Scott, Keenan Diggs, and the Memphis Comic and Fantasy Convention. Red Mullet and Cowboy, created by Jay Jupe.